This is the Canadian Taxpayers Federation podcast, where we are fighting for lower taxes, less waste, and more accountable government. I'm Chris Sims. I'm the Alberta Director for the CTF. I'm here with two of my very good friends, Franco Terrazano, he's holding down the fort in Ottawa, and Carson Binda, in my home province of British Columbia. So much to talk about here, gentlemen. And the carbon tax, my gosh, this is a red hot issue. Franco, I'm going to throw to you first. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with Carney getting rid of kind of sort of the consumer carbon tax but hiding it, or Pierre saying he's going to obliterate all of it from space? Where do you want to go?
No, let me just start off by saying, like, I'm old enough to remember, because I was alive 6 minutes ago, when the Liberals were Captain Carbon Tax, right? Where if you care about the environment, you have to pay your carbon tax bill, right? I remember them saying, oh, don't worry about the carbon tax. We'll take $20 from you and somehow give you $50 back. I'm also old enough to remember, because it was only a couple months ago, when the CTF was in a parliamentary committee and a Liberal MP was saying, I've never heard about a carbon tax. What carbon tax in Canada? So yeah, up until 6 minutes ago, the Liberal government was Captain Carbon Tax, right? And now, because ordinary Canadians have been fighting back for years, because there's been so much pressure against the carbon tax, because the carbon tax support has collapsed, and because all the polls show that if you want to get elected in Canada right now, you can't support a consumer carbon tax, we now saw the newly appointed Prime Minister Mark Carney take out a big sheet of paper, sign his name, and say that he's going to bring the carbon tax rates to zero beginning April 1. So first of all, to all of our supporters out there, like, think about how much work you put in to force the Liberal government to at least say they're going to end their own consumer carbon tax. Now, here's the problem, right? The devil is always in the details, and there are a lot of details here. So, folks, the carbon tax law is still technically on the books. Now, what that means is when the government or when politicians eventually come back into the House of Commons, they have the power to again crank up the carbon tax as high as their heart's desire. But not only that, the carbon tax fight is still going ahead, because Carney isn't ending all carbon taxes. He's changing the carbon tax, right? He still wants to hammer businesses with huge hidden carbon taxes, and he hopes you won't notice when businesses pass on those costs to you through higher prices. So the carbon tax fight, while Canadians forced the Liberal government to back down, the carbon tax fight is still here. But there is also some good news, because Conservative Party leader has officially come out against all carbon taxes, consumer carbon tax, yep, industrial carbon tax, second carbon tax, buried in fuel regulations. Mr. Poilievre is officially on the record now saying he will scrap all carbon taxes, making him the first major party leader of all the parties in the House of Commons to actually commit to ending all carbon taxes.
There's a great line in the Alien movie where they say, we better nuke it from orbit. It's the only way to be sure. And so this is kind of how I feel right now about Pierre Poilievre's announcement saying, yeah, consumer carbon tax, industrial carbon tax, on the record about the second carbon tax, the whole enchilada has to be gone. I did want to hammer home before I bring you in here, Carson, because Carson, keep in mind, folks, is in the epicenter, the genesis chamber of the carbon tax. OK, it was inflicted across Canada because of what happened in BC. But very briefly, I really want to hammer home this point. Mark Carney, here, I've got his book right here. Mark Carney, he wrote a 507-page book cheerleading carbon taxes. Like, he's the godfather of carbon taxes. Him suddenly saying that he doesn't want anything to do with the carbon tax anymore, which is not exactly what he said, to be fair, but he said he wants to change the carbon tax and realizes it's radioactive. That's like a vegan ordering a steak. Okay, but I'm going to watch you choke that thing down. And I'm going to maybe follow you to the parking lot to make sure you don't yak that thing back up, because I don't know if I believe you. Carson, I wanted to bring you in here because there was a very interesting promise that your premier, David Eby, made. I think it went something along the lines of, well, if the feds go first, I'll get rid of mine. What's happening in British Columbia with your carbon tax?
Yeah, you've got that exactly right, Chris. So during our recent provincial election campaign, and repeatedly since then, I should add, David Eby, our premier in BC, has repeatedly said that he's going to scrap the carbon tax just as soon as he gets permission from Ottawa. Well, it looks like he's got that permission now. Mark Carney, April 1st, axing that consumer carbon tax. But here in BC, we're still wondering when David Eby is going to follow through with that promise. So he took a half step in the right direction. He said the April 1st carbon tax hike, gone, not happening. British Columbians won't see a carbon tax hike on April 1st. But we're also not being told when exactly it is going to be ended here in BC. The next time our Legislative Assembly meets isn't until March 31st. And does anyone think they're actually going to kill this thing right on day one when they're back meeting? These things can take some time. So for them to be waiting until March 31st to even table that legislation to give British Columbians the same relief taxpayers from coast to coast to coast are going to get from axing this consumer-facing carbon tax, that's not good enough. Look, British Columbians shouldn't be shackled paying this zombie carbon tax when it's already dead in most of the rest of the country. So David Eby, he needs to stop dragging his feet. He needs to put our money where his mouth is and finally, immediately end this consumer carbon tax on British Columbians.
I was going to say, saying ain't doing. So he better start doing it. Brief our listeners. How much does the carbon tax cost in British Columbia right now? The one that he's hanging on to and talking about reducing, but not doing the reducing. How much does it cost right now?
Right now in British Columbia, the carbon tax costs drivers about 17.6 cents per liter of gasoline. Now on your normal minivan fill up, that shakes out to about 10 or 11 bucks that families are being slapped with through the carbon tax every time they fill up that minivan. But it's even worse than that, Chris, because most families here in BC, they use natural gas to heat their homes in the wintertime. The carbon tax on natural gas costs more than the natural gas itself right now. That means when folks are going to pay their Fortis home heating bill here in British Columbia, they're spending more money on the carbon tax than on the actual natural gas they're using to heat their homes. Now, Chris, you'll remember this because you were here in BC at the time. But way back in the day when the NDP was in opposition and it was the BC Liberals bringing in the unaffordable carbon tax on British Columbians, then Premier John Horgan had something interesting to say about the carbon tax on home heating. He said that British Columbians wouldn't be able to heat their homes when the wild West Coast winds are howling because of this carbon tax. And you know what? John Horgan was right. So David Eby doesn't even need to take that big of a leap to finally end this thing. He just needs to do exactly what he was railing about when he was sitting in the opposition benches.
Big time. I will point out Carol James, the former NDP leader, when they were in opposition, she went further. She called the so-called revenue neutrality of their new carbon tax in BC lipstick on a pig. And she campaigned. I'm not joking, folks. Look this up. The campaign slogan for the British Columbia NDP that year, axe the tax. Yeah, what's old is new again. Franco, I wanted to come back to you there in Ottawa because I can just imagine it's probably like a maelstrom of information, a huge storm of information. So we've got Carney saying he's going to change the carbon tax and then put it on to the, he called them big polluters, but what they are our manufacturers, our businesses, our industrialists. And then also Pierre Poilievre came out with this huge promise saying he wants to get rid of the whole thing. Can you break down where Carney is right now and what exactly he said about moving this over to the industrial side? What will that do?
Well, it's going to mean higher prices, fewer jobs and less production here in Canada. Okay, so let's go one by one. So number one, higher prices, right? So Carney's essentially trying to spin Canadians that a carbon tax on business. Don't worry, folks. It'll just be businesses that pay the carbon tax and you won't pay any of that bill. Now, here's Carney's problem. Canadians aren't stupid, right? Canadians understand that if you hammer businesses with carbon taxes, you're hammering Canadians with carbon taxes because businesses aren't just going to eat the cost of your carbon tax. No, they're going to pass it on to the till through higher prices. And look, like, Carney has been so vague. He hasn't given anyone a clear answer to the most obvious question, is how much is your carbon tax going to cost? Because we know it's not going to cost $0, right? And nobody believes Carney. We commissioned a Léger poll, a reputable national polling firm, and it showed that just 12% of Canadians believe Carney, that businesses will pay most of the cost of his hidden carbon tax. Whereas 70% of Canadians said, obviously, businesses are going to pass most or some of the cost on to consumers through higher prices. But it's actually worse than just higher prices, right? Especially given the context of this tariff war with the United States, where you have President Trump, who wants to bring back manufacturing, wants to bring back industries to the United States. Well, guess what, folks? Washington doesn't impose carbon taxes. So Trump wants to attract businesses to the U.S., and Carney's hidden carbon tax is going to help Trump do just that, right? So look, it's really the worst of all worlds with Carney's hidden carbon tax: higher prices, less production in Canada, and fewer Canadian jobs.
Wow. What a disaster. Carson, I just wanted to touch on this with you one more time with the carbon tax before we shift to your amazing sandwich story. Folks, you have to listen to this. Like, bureaucrats or politicians or somebody spent more than $50 each on a sandwich. And I purposefully have not read your story because I want to be surprised by what you tell me. Okay, but quickly, Carson, on the carbon tax, we have to stress, in British Columbia, back when this was being put through in 2008, it was the bee's knees. All the fancy people, Arnold Schwarzenegger from California, thought it was the coolest thing. We had the New York Times writing about it. Can you just describe, from what you've read, the kind of tone that was coming out of BC at the time and the kind of stuff they were promising would happen as a result of the carbon tax?
Yeah, absolutely, Chris. So at the time, and we're going to have to step into the Wayback Machine here, go back to 2008 when this carbon tax was first introduced, the politicians, the Davos types, were all railing about the virtues of the carbon tax. They were saying that the world is going to burn unless we tax Canadians for heating their homes and driving to work. You know, ignore the big polluters over there. Going after single moms for driving their kids to hockey practice, that's what we need to do to fight climate change. And back at the time, BC's premier, a guy named Gordon Campbell, signed a law saying that the carbon tax was going to reduce BC's emissions by 33%, a third, between 2007, the baseline year before the carbon tax, and 2020. Now, Chris, do you think that happened? Just using your common sense, do you think Canadians were able, or British Columbians were able, to reduce our emissions by 33% through a tax?
No, because government is terrible.
Yeah, of course not. Of course not. You can't tax away the need to heat your home. You can't tax away the need to drive to work. So of course our emissions didn't drop by 33%. And in fact, last year, the most recent year we've got government emissions data for, our carbon emissions have actually increased since we brought in a carbon tax. So this didn't magically slash our emissions by a third. In fact, our emissions are higher now than when we brought this tax in. And that's just common sense, Chris. Taxing Canadians for heating their homes isn't going to magically change your need to heat your home. That's not a luxury. Making it more expensive, more punishing to drive to work isn't going to stop you from driving to work if you need to get to your job site. It's just going to hit your bottom line. And that's exactly what we saw in British Columbia. Our emissions didn't go down. People just got poorer.
Big time. I will point out, it's... I know other folks have their other issues with the carbon tax, but I remember living there in the Fraser Valley at the time. It was especially cruel because in British Columbia, like, houses are ridiculously expensive, even rent. So people were commuting every day from as far out as Hope, because I lived there. Hope, Chilliwack, Langley, Abbotsford, all down the Fraser Valley. They had to drive in every single day into places like New West or Vancouver. I'll never forget it, guys. Just before I left British Columbia, this mother phoned me, this older mother. She was living with her adult son. They were renting a basement, a one-bedroom basement suite in Chilliwack, for $2,500. Her adult son, who was a tradesman, okay, or a roofer, he was a laborer, He had just gotten back on his feet after a divorce. They were living together. He couldn't afford to fill up his pickup truck to make the commute drive every day across the bridges into the Tri-Cities. She was crying on the phone. So this affects real people, and that's why to finally see someone like Mark Carney say out loud with his face that he needs to do something about the carbon tax, yeah, you do. You need to get rid of it completely. All right, I need a sandwich. Can we have one that does not cost more than $50? I just let people in on the... So we have our chat, and Carson, I think you broke this story, and you start listing off that... Okay, just tell me, how much did British Columbia government-y people pay for sandwiches, or spend on sandwiches?
Okay, Chris, you're sitting down for this. The BC government billed taxpayers $57 per person for sandwiches. But Chris, that is just the tip of the iceberg. These $57 sandwiches were served at this big party, the Premier's Innovation Awards, that take place every year in Victoria. Now, this award show put on by the Premier is meant to celebrate the best and the brightest of BC's bureaucracy. So they bring in bureaucrats from all over the province and have this big party. And afterwards, I think they need to put some ice on their hands because they hurt from patting themselves on the back so hard. The total cost of this party to taxpayers, $118,000. So they were eating $57 sandwiches on top of a $99 per person three-course dinner. They were washing these expensive sandwiches and dinners down with $21 French 75 cocktails, bottles of water costing $7.50 each, cans of Diet Coke also costing $7.50
each.
What? Yeah.
How? So, were they at a Taylor Swift concert? What was going
on?
A
great question. And I actually Googled it. I thought, no way can a can of Coke cost $7.50. No. You can buy a whole 12-pack of Coke for less money than that at any grocery store chain in British Columbia. So that's a 12 times more than these Cokes cost at the grocery store. But the charges just keep going on. I mean, they spent $15,000 on a food service charge. I'm not sure what that means. The room rental where they hosted this party was $14,000. Now, Chris, I fired up Google Maps. I typed in the address of where they hosted this party. It's less than a 5-minute walk from the legislature. You know, the big building taxpayers already own that we should be hosting events like this at. David Eby could have saved taxpayers 14 grand just by moving this party 5 minutes up the road. Now, credit where it's due, some of our friends in the media scrummed the finance minister asking, how the heck do you blow $57 on a sandwich?
Good.
I'm going to quote her here. The finance minister thought it was, quote, appropriate to celebrate excellence, but government just can't, quote, do it in a way that's extravagant. I'm sorry. Is the finance minister saying that she doesn't think $57 sandwiches are extravagant? Like, either the finance minister doesn't know what a sandwich is, or she doesn't understand what things cost. Either way, that's pretty worrying for taxpayers to hear that from our finance minister. You know, I was shocked. $57 sandwiches. So just for fun, just for me, I decided to see if I could find the most expensive sandwich in Vancouver.
Please tell me you videotaped this. Just a minute. Stop. Please tell me you recorded your sandwich hunt.
Oh, yeah. Stay tuned, folks. Okay. Check on my Twitter later because this is coming out. Okay. I found a lobster and prawn roll made by Gordon Ramsay at his brand new restaurant here in Vancouver. That would have set you back $31.75. Only British Columbia's government could have saved money by having Gordon Ramsay cater the party. This is just ridiculous, Chris.
Franco?
You know what? The craziest part of this whole story to me is government innovation awards. Like, government innovation is like an oxymoron. Like, I know there's so many crazy stuff that Carson just said, but like, I'm still caught up on government innovation. Like, I can't get over that, you know?
You
Well,
didn't
it's
absorb
ridiculous.
anything after
I
that.
was like, wait, what?
Well, and look, it would be wrong. It would still be wrong if this was, a fundraiser for a children's cancer charity, something like that. You know,
Yeah,
you can
sure.
understand it. It's noble. This wasn't, that's not the case here. This was a
Nope.
party to celebrate bureaucrats. Like, how can the finance minister justify this? And how can she seriously stand up in front of cameras, in front of journalists, and say, no, this isn't extravagant. This is totally appropriate. It's ridiculous.
Okay, I'm just gonna weigh in here as a sandwich artist, okay? Because I make my kids sandwiches to go to school every morning. On my weekend grocery shopping is when I go to the deli counter at Superstore and I order the cold meat, okay? Because we go big. When I was a kid, you might have a jam sandwich, maybe. There was not meat and cheese and stuff. Okay, to get a week's worth for two kids with pretty generous helpings of meat, and I'm talking Montreal smoked meat, okay? I get it on sale, but still, that costs $20 for two people to have a big honking Subway sandwich for the entire week for 5 days. $57 per sandwich on top of, did you say there was a $15,000 like service fee?
Yep, that's right, Chris. A $15,000 service fee on top of $73,000 spent, pardon me, $75,000 spent on the food itself.
Okay, because I was about to ask you, is this because it was catered and it was a baked-in cost? That's crazy. Like, I actually being really creative. Can't picture making a sandwich cost that much. Like,
Well,
saffron is a super rare sort of a spice. Like, it's super expensive. Like, they must have been seasoning it with like gold-tinged saffron or something. This is wild.
no, I legitimately have to ask, did the finance minister kill the golden goose, turn its liver into foie gras, and serve that in these sandwiches? Like, that is the only way I can possibly imagine a sandwich. Yeah, two pieces of bread costing $57.
That is amazing.
It's friggin' inflation and the carbon tax, man, let me tell you. Hey,
Yeah,
just increasing the cost of everything from home heating to gasoline to bureaucrat government innovation awards.
with sandwiches. Okay, Carson, where can we find out more information about this infuriating topic if people want to know more about where their tax dollars go to? And for folks who are getting upset about us laughing, trust us, we're super mad about this. But if we just got mad about it, we'd cry on the air, and nobody wants to see that. That would be ugly crying. We have to laugh at them. We also have to laugh at them because they hate it. Okay? Trust me, some bureaucrat who thinks that a $57 sandwich on the taxpayer dime isn't extravagant thinks pretty highly of themselves. So we have to poke fun at them and laugh at them and say they're absurd and this is a terrible waste of taxpayers' money. Carson, where can people find out more details about this story?
Absolutely. Folks should head on over to taxpayer.com/newsroom. That's where they can see all of our latest news releases, including the one dealing with the bureaucrats' $57 sandwiches.
Wild. Okay. I think, gentlemen, that's enough. I'm hangry enough that I need one of my modest budgetary sandwiches, I think now. Let's do our taxpayer pro tip. Franco, would you like to go first with the taxpayer pro tip?
Sure. Yeah. Hey, folks. Mark Carney wrote a what, 500-page book praising carbon taxes, right? Yeah, a 500-page book. There it is. Well, I wrote a book hammering carbon taxes. And you know what would make those carbon tax activists more mad than anything? Picking up a copy of that book. And you can get it, folks. It's already pre-sale on Amazon, Axing the Tax, The Rise and Fall of Canada's Carbon Tax. It details all the reasons why all carbon taxes, regardless of how those activists try to repackage and spin you on it, why a carbon tax is and always will be terrible policy. It just shreds all of the carbon tax arguments. It shreds them, puts it into the garbage can. Again, you know, Mark Carney wrote a big book praising the carbon tax. Well, I wrote a book hammering the carbon tax, axing the tax, the rise and fall of Canada's carbon tax, folks. It's coming out April 10th. If you want to pick it up, if you want to send it to that person who just loves carbon taxes, really to tick them off, you can pre-order it now on Amazon. We'll include a link in the show notes.
And for all of the politicos who watch this podcast and listen to our stuff, maybe carbon taxes aren't exactly your thing. Trust me. There is a lot of tea spilled in this book. I'm not going to give it away, but when I was reading it, Franco, I gasped a couple of times because of the stuff you were including. Names are named, okay? Nobody is left behind. So for anybody who's really into the play-by-play of the bad theater that happens there in Ottawa, you want to pick up this book for sure. Carson, what is your taxpayer pro tip for our gentle listeners?
Yeah, my taxpayer pro tip goes out to BC Finance Minister Brenda Bailey. Brenda, go to the store, buy some bread, get some peanut butter, get some jam, learn what a sandwich is before you're going to claim that a $57 sandwich is anything other than wildly extravagant. Finance Minister Brenda Bailey, learn what a sandwich is.
That's a very good homework assignment. My taxpayer pro tip is for especially Alberta taxpayers. Did you see that budget? Yeah. They are taking out an even bigger loan on taxpayers. They're overspending by more than $5 billion with a B. Yes, here in Alberta. Yes, I know about the price of oil. Yes, I know that there's a Trump-shaped cloud of uncertainty. We get it. But you can't go wildly spending like this. So let's help them. If you have areas that you want to cut, that you see waste happening in the Alberta government and in their budget, send it on over to us. And the way to get in touch with us at the Taxpayers Federation is to go to our website, taxpayer.com. You can find all of our contact information. But even more fun, you can join the Taxpayer Army, because throughout what Franco was just talking about, and I'm sure they're getting an earful about that $57 sandwich right now, Frank, Carson in BC. The way we do this is you join an army of taxpayers by signing a petition. So if you want to scrap carbon taxes, you want to defund the CBC, you want to cancel the gun grab, sign the petition that speaks to your heart. And then you'll be on our mailing list and you'll be part of the tax fighter army. And the next time it's time to push a politician to do the right thing, like scrapping carbon taxes, you'll be there. So head on over to taxpayer.com, sign the petition, and join the fight. Thanks for listening.